I'd just like to welcome you to this first in a series of presentations in which we're going to be looking at the creation story found in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. That is the first book of the Bible. Now, the first verse reads as follows. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But in our approach to this story, I want you to suspend the notion that this story is about the creation of an independently existing physical universe in space and time, and rather bring your attention to the idea that this story is really an account of the creation or the recreation or the regeneration of the human mind. That it presents this in terms of a structure involving a series of steps or stages, which so far as a literal reading of the text is concerned, involves a series of 7 days, 6 days of creative activity and a seventh day of rest. Now, the concept of days speak of the movement of time or changes due to the rotation of the earth in relation to the sun. Now, while ancient peoples may have understood the mechanics of this differently, the principle of a day involving a cycle of change remains constant for all peoples through all time. And it is this that I want us to focus on as we look to see how the concept of a day can be used to provide a framework for understanding the inner recreation of our mental world. So to do this, we need to try and think as the ancient peoples did, and that is in mythic or in symbolic terms. They, unlike us so-called modern sophisticated thinkers, they were not literalists, and so would have been very comfortable with thinking holistically, in which an interplay between the outer physical world that they perceived in their senses and the inner spiritual world of human consciousness was a living reality. In fact, it is clear from ancient writings, and the Bible included in those, across many, many cultures, that our ancestors were mythic and symbolic thinkers and saw in the outer objects of their senses a rich resource of knowledge and insights that provided deep insights into the inner workings of the states of human consciousness. For them, the outer and inner worlds were intimately related, and as such were, in practical terms, inseparable. They had an intuitive grasp of the oneness of outer and inner, which means that if we are to understand the biblical text as a spiritual text, we too must shift the way we think into a symbolic or representative mode in which objects and events of the outer world found mentioned in the text are recast as symbols that point to the inner psychological or spiritual world of mind. If we can do that, then we will soon discover the profound wisdom which our ancestors, within which our ancestors lived and moved and had their being. When we bring a symbolic rather than a literalist mindset to the biblical text, we can see how well the concept of a day as changes in time can represent change in a more universal sense. As a symbol, it serves as an ideal representation of inner changes of states of consciousness resulting from the activity of divine truths from the Word acting upon the human mind. The Word, as the text of sacred scripture, is a spiritual text, and it is given for spiritual ends or spiritual purposes. So, what does that mean? Well, it means that really the Lord isn't interested in giving humanity a natural history lesson. his interest in presenting us with a divine revelation is in the salvation of the human race. And that is reflected in the texts of sacred scripture when they are viewed as the means by which that salvation can be effected. A literal understanding of the text may well be sufficient for children and for those who can't raise their understanding above the physical senses. But if this text is to support the regeneration of the human mind, then a deeper understanding of it is required so that it can be applied to the recreation of the human mind into the image and likeness of its creator, which, in the end, is all that really matters. So these days we find in the first chapter of the book of Genesis are really accounts of states of consciousness. The states of consciousness which a human being traverses through when the Lord, as the Word, works to regenerate or spiritualize the human mind. The function of sacred scripture is to serve as the means by which the Lord is able to bring about this heavenly form of mind, and he does this through the text itself, which as something living has a psychoactive quality to it. And what I mean by that is that the text, when it is read and engaged with, becomes the very thing it describes. It begins to unfold what is described within the mind itself. The Word is the living breath of God, and as text, it provides the ground into which the Spirit of God, flowing in from the inmost soul of a person, can find a place within their conscious awareness. It is the text, as it sits in the external mind, and receives what is flowing in from a deeper part of the mind, that gives a person an awareness of spiritual realities. In this sense, the Word is the conjunctive agent that brings what is created into connection with its Creator. The Word as a revealed text forms a divinely appointed basis and foundation by which the human race can be lifted up out of the natural loves of self and the world into those higher spiritual loves, which are love to the Lord, this being the love of what is good, and love towards the neighbor, which is the love of what is true. So our opening statement says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. To think naturally or to think from the senses will immediately encase this statement in the two leading principles of the natural world, that is, the principles of space and time. Now, spiritual thought is not concerned with the natural world. It is only concerned with the things of the spirit, these being the things of the mind, or states of consciousness, states of affection and thought, for these are the things that we truly live in. For the two principles that govern spiritual thought are those that correspond to the two principles that govern natural thought. But the spiritual principles are those of love and wisdom. For space corresponds to states of love, or the affectional or the motivational side of the mind belonging to the will, while time corresponds to states of wisdom, or those things to do with the intellectual side of the mind. Now, all mental phenomena within the human mind reflect states of the will and understanding, as these two faculties are what the human mind consists of. All mental activity, all mental life, is the life and activity of the will and the understanding. Therefore, to understand the statement spiritually, we need to elevate our thought out of the kind of thinking that takes things literally and think instead in terms of states of mind, states of affection and thought. So when approaching scripture, this requires a mode of thought that thinks in representative, symbolic, and mythic terms, where what is read literally is processed and understood in terms of what is being represented spiritually. There is an interplay between levels of meaning in the text, so that the surface or literal meaning found in the letter serves as a body through which the deeper spiritual meaning and application can be accessed consciously. The most general idea conveyed in this opening statement of the book of Genesis is that the source and origin of all is God. That God is, and that God creates. This is simply stated in the opening verse as a given. This is axiomatic. That God exists and that he creates is something that is so fundamental that you cannot go further beyond it. There is no explanation beyond the idea that God is and that he creates. So in that sense, it is axiomatic, and it's that forms the foundational idea when it comes to engaging or being able to engage with a spiritual life. While the existence of God cannot be proved scientifically, it can certainly be intuited rationally or philosophically. It is only through a willingness to affirm this intuition as something true that the word is then opened as to its inner meaning and applications, and can therefore support the regeneration or spiritualization of the natural level of the human mind. It is the acknowledgement of God on the basis of the claims that the text makes that forms the beginning or the initiating state from which the regeneration of the human mind becomes possible. To acknowledge that God is on the basis of what the word or text declares to be so is to affirm the authority of the text or word as being of a divine origin. And if of a divine origin, then it too must be divine. And if divine, it is God revealing himself in a form that is accessible to all. So to understand how God can be the text or sacred scripture, we need only quote another reference to the beginning found in the profound opening of the Gospel of John. There we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. All came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one came into being which has come into being." In this statement from John's Gospel, we see that the terms Word and God are synonymous. We see that it is the Word that creates and brings all into being. So if when speaking of creation, we mean spiritually the regeneration of the human mind, then the idea of the Word as text being an active power by which this is able to be accomplished is certainly an idea that carries possibilities. To reform and regenerate the human mind requires the adoption and integration of spiritual ideas and concepts. To communicate these ideas so that they can find a place within the mind requires a medium, and that medium is language, which has as its natural foundation either spoken or written words. The text of sacred scripture offers divine or spiritual ideas clothed in a body of natural imagery that can unfold within the mind to recreate it if what is offered is received in an affirmative spirit. Genuine spiritual teachings, if received into the mind as something to be lived from, will transform the mind as they displace belief patterns, attitudes, and values grounded in non-spiritual or a natural perspective. So let us just step back a bit from the literal meaning of the terms or words used in this opening statement and try to think about what they might point to so far as states of consciousness are concerned. We begin with the term God. Here, and in fact throughout the whole of sacred scripture, the term God refers to the Lord's presence in the mind, and if we think about how the divine is present within the mind, then we arrive at this presence in truths drawn from the Word. It is teaching of a divine origin that opens the possibility for the creation of a new mind. The process by which the presence of God is established within the human mind involves having what is from and thereby of the Lord being implanted within it. This process involves having in the more external part of the mind teaching or ideas or concepts into which what is flowing in by a more internal way can be captured and there fixed. It is the Word as sacred scripture, as sacred text, that furnishes the external mind with the materials needed through which internal or spiritual things can be thought about. It is the text itself, when taken into the mind via the senses, that forms exterior vessels or a ground into which spiritual things flowing in by an inward way can be received and thereby perceived in a way wherein spiritual realities can then present themselves in the conscious awareness of the receiver as new insights. Without the letter of the Word, the natural mind would lack the foundation necessary which makes its regeneration possible. When there is an affirmative response to divine truths, which involves living from them as the basis for life, changes begin to happen within the mind that are as profound as the changes that occur in the physical conception and development of an embryo. Only in the matrix of the mind, the changes are conceptual and involve the reorganization and development of mental substances into spiritual forms that are able to receive new affections and thoughts of a higher, heavenly, or spiritual quality. So from a spiritual perspective, when the Word declares that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, we have described the creative efforts of the divine truth, or the Word's operation within the human mind that brings into being what is called heaven and earth. By this phrase, heaven and earth, we are given insight into the general structure of the new mind or man. When we think about the spatial relationship between the literal heavens and the earth, we are immediately brought into the idea of what is higher versus what is lower. But when we are talking about states of mind, the spatial idea of height becomes a relationship of internal to external. Heaven, then, describes a plane of mental activity that is higher, finer, more internal than the plane of mental activity that is described by the term earth. So in spiritual or psychological terms, heaven can be understood to be a more internal or spiritual plane of mind, a higher mind, if you will, which means that earth must represent a more external or natural plane of mind, this being the lower mind. The relationship of what is higher and lower in the natural world to what is more internal and more external in the mental world is a relationship established by a spiritual law, which is called the law of correspondence. Now this law states that everything found in the natural world is an effect, being a representation of a corresponding spiritual cause found in the inner world of the mind. At times we shall refer to this mental world as the spiritual world, for that is what it is. And through the application of this law of correspondence to the natural imagery found in the biblical text, we are able to enter into the world of spirit and gain insight into the mental processes involved in the word's regeneration of the human mind. We shall use this law throughout this series of presentations, which will affirm its use as a basis for understanding the word as it applies to the inner life. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you can join me next time when we look further into these mysteries that Scripture unfolds concerning the inner processes of our regeneration.